This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Judy Dempsey, the senior scholar in Berlin I depend upon of the Carnegie Endowment of International Peace to observe Europe from the point of view of the future and to observe America from the point of view of Europe. I begin with a story that is fresh to me, but for some time I've puzzled about cocoa prices, especially because they spiked and then they retreated somewhat worldwide. I read now in the Financial Times, the pink paper out of London that I depend upon for European affairs, that there is grave doubt, in fact, fixed doubt, that the cocoa crop over the next decades will decline and the price will climb. Why? The identification is climate. The recent COP30 meeting in northern Amazon, Belém, I believe, did produce a lot of statistics, and one of them is the dependence of the cocoa crop on the rainforest of Africa and its dependence on the rainforest of South America. In other words, we're considering here not transnational climate affecting prices, but transcontinental. As the trees are cut down and the forest reduced in the Amazon basin, that affects all weather flowing into the Congo River Basin, and that leads to a decline in the trees, especially in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is a nightmare of governance, but it has half the trees that we depend upon to bring in a cocoa crop. Judy, I come to you because it's at once lighthearted and also revelatory that the chocolate crop is guaranteed to be reduced unless and until the Amazon destruction is reversed. Good day to you, Judy.
Oh, good day, John, and thank you very much for having me on your show, as always. You certainly do open up a sweetener this time round.
Yes, I meant to, because chocolate here in the United States and in the Americas is considered, oh, for Halloween, for children, and for people who are in needful of a boost of energy in the middle of the day or a little chubby. All right. But in Europe, it's part of your daily conduct. It's polite society. Having a chocolate with coffee is part of either morning exercise, afternoon exercise, or delight. It's not anything similar to how we do it here. Your measure of chocolate now, as the prices surge, will Europe follow it, or will the chocolate habit be attenuated?
It's a very complicated question, and it's too facile to say we don't know. What I do know, having lived in Brussels, and Brussels is one of the great chocolate capitals of Europe, and in other cities in Belgium as well, the price of chocolate has gone up over the past couple of years. And we're not just talking about chocolate that you use with coffee. It's extraordinary decorations gone into cakes, gone into wonderful souffles, gone into pastries, gone into elegant handmade chocolate bars. I mean, going to Brussels is like going to a chocolate art gallery. And this has spread to other countries. Italy has wonderful chocolate stores. These aren't just overnight. They're family owned. They go back decades, if not some of them centuries. And so my point is that chocolate manufacturers have been susceptible to the ups and downs of cocoa prices. It used to depend on war, on civil conflict that actually dictated prices, plus, of course, shipping costs and issues. Now climate change is coming home to roost, and the chocolate manufacturers now have to figure how they're going to juggle everything to keep their businesses open, thriving and making money. It's going to be very, very difficult because at the end of the day, the cost will be actually passed to the consumer.
About COP30, just a note here, because I didn't have a chance to address it during the build-up. COP30 is generally understood, and this is the reporting I've seen in London, as not successful, that it was not attended heartily by leadership and that many of its directions have not been met. Its goals are not going to be met. And this feeds into the unfortunate opinion of the Trump administration that it's a hoax. That's the word, I believe, that the president has used in the past. Is that opinion in Europe, or is this entirely about American partisan politics?
It's certainly American partisan politics, but if it's that partisan, you would imagine the Democrats would have sent a high-level delegation to the COPs meeting in Brazil. I know the San Francisco Newsom Democrat went there, but that's not enough. You know, Trump is in self-denial with climate change, despite what, the droughts, despite the storms, despite the hurricanes. This is it. However, two things that do occur to me with COPs is one that there's an awful lot of talking and there's awful rhetoric, a new roadmap or a new pathway, trying to, as it comes up to the final week of COPs, they want to find a compromise, but the compromise actually costs money. And the Panamanians and the other countries in Central America and Latin America, they have looked to the European Union to provide the financing to actually deal with climate change. Dealing with the climate change costs money, just like chocolate does. So the EU now has to stand up and say, are they prepared to actually invest more? This is the first point. The second point is, look out for China. China is leading in terms of renewables. And China was there playing a very big role and pointing out what it had done with the infrastructure, renewables, the transition to energy. A couple of my colleagues recently went to Beijing and they were astonished by how clean the air had become. I mean, China is taking this very seriously because they have a growing pension age issue. They have a growing health costs. And so, you know, one of the things that could actually deal with this is actually combating the whole degradation of the climate. So we have an awful lot of elements here, but the one that is absent is the United States, which could be a leader.
And in Europe now, climate change, is it considered the top of the agenda as it was 10 years ago? Or has it slipped down to the point where it's almost a boutique? The leaders that pay attention to it are those who are do not have major problems elsewhere. How is it regarded when the Europeans meet?
It's regarded still very high, but the consensus is it's going to cost an awful lot of money.
Right.
And now the European Union is faced with the rising costs of dealing with climate. That means actually how they're going to get certain materials to make the transition to renewables, to make the transition to electric cars, to actually persuade the populations, especially Poland and some other countries, to completely abandon fossil fuels. It all costs a ton of money, and the European Union is trying to actually lead this. But on top of this, John, you have other costs, the rising costs of finding finance for Ukraine, not just for the war itself, but the actual finances of the infrastructure, of getting food to Ukraine, of keeping the budget steady, of making sure that it's stable economically. There's this element. And the third element, of course, is the ongoing seesawing of the whole tariff regime that President Trump has imposed on the European Union. This is back and forth. Interestingly, now that you mentioned chocolate, he's actually lifted some of the tariffs when it comes to coffee and oranges and so on, because it's actually inflationary and the American public realizes who's responsible for this. So everything is feeding in, but my downside about the European Union is that it just reacts always too slowly rather than having a long-term strategy to deal with these big issues.
Judy,
and Ukraine and climate change are the two essential elements of this.
Judy correctly introduces war, and we'll turn to war in the European Union in many directions, including infrastructure. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm speaking with my good colleague Judy Dempsey in Berlin for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.